Amen. He's a mighty, merciful, good God. Amen. And it's a privilege to know Him, to have Him as our God. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. The Apostle Paul writes this to his son in the gospel, Timothy. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Now that's what Paul perceived himself to be. A preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Then he said, for the which cause I also suffer these things. What things? He's in prison. He's facing death. He will soon be beheaded for the gospel. So he's looking with no hope toward a death sentence, simply because he was a preacher, he was an apostle, and he was a teacher of the Gentiles. That was his crime. Amen. But when you read this book, there's not an ounce of self-pity in it. There's not an ounce of woe is me. There's not an ounce of complaining. There's not a phrase of any of that. Not a touch of it. Not a tint of it. Amen. Praise God. There's not any of that in this book. Even though he's near the end, and all he did was preach the gospel. And so he said, everybody say, suffer. And that is an amazing word, isn't it? I suffer these things. He said, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. I want to preach to you tonight about committed. Amen. We are living in a time when people are scared to death of commitment. People don't want to be committed. As I studied for this message, you know what I found in the scripture? I found that the word committed is used hundreds of times, but always, almost always, referring to sin. People committing sin. There's not very many times that the word committed is referring to what I'm preaching about tonight. So I want to preach to us about commitment tonight. Amen. And being committed. Praise God. The only way that we're going to make an impact in this world and in this city is to be committed. The only way we're going to make it as a church is to be committed. The only way we're going to make it as a Christian is to be committed. Amen. The word commit is a Greek word, parathike. It means a sacred trust. It means a deposit as a treasure, as a life, as a child. It means that we are making a deposit. Now, all of us make commitments. Somebody said, I'm afraid of commitment. Well, you may be, but you're going to have to make them if you're going to live in this world. Some of you are committed to the bank. Some of you are committed to the mortgage company. Some of you are committed to the credit card company. Some of you are committed to your employer. Some of you are committed to your wife or to your husband. If you're in a marriage, you had better be. Amen. Children are committed to their parents. Parents are committed to their children. Amen. If you have any friends, it's a commitment if you're going to have friends. The Bible said if a man would be friends, what? Show himself friendly. Amen. You want friends? Be friendly. You can't walk around like a porcupine with your quills up and expect to have a lot of friends. Amen. Be friendly. Everybody say, be friendly. Be friendly. Amen. It takes commitment to be a friend, doesn't it? Amen. You can't You know, you can't have anything to do with people and then expect them to be your friend. You can't walk the other way when they see you coming and expect them to be your friend. Calls for a commitment. You're going to have to spend time. Amen. You're going to have to invest some conversation. Sometimes other things, but this is, I'm talking about commitment tonight. There are people that are committed to this country. We have soldiers tonight on foreign soil and in our home soil, homeland, that are committed to this nation. We are a free country tonight because we have some people that are willing to make commitments. Amen. Thank God for our soldiers tonight. Thank God for men and women that are willing to go and literally lay down their lives for this country because they're committed to it. Amen. Praise God. And we are committed. There's a religious commitment a lot of people make. Amen. If you're going to serve God, it's going to call for a commitment. So the commitment's not an unusual idea. It's not something that we're not already doing. We're already committed. I would like to say tonight that God has some things that He would like to commit to us. When I say commit, I mean a sacred trust. I mean a deposit that He has placed into our lives. There are some things that God wants to commit to us. First of all, Luke chapter 16, verse 11. Jesus said this, "If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" Now, what does Jesus mean by unrighteous mammon? What He simply means is financial obligations. In other words, He's saying, if you can't be faithful with your money, then how can I trust you with what He calls true riches? Somebody said, "I thought money was riches." Wrong. Amen. I'm going to tell you what true riches are. True riches are peace and joy and righteousness and goodness and meekness and temperance. Amen. All the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, those are true riches. When you can lay your head down on a pillow at night and you can dream sweet dreams. Hallelujah. When you know that there's naught in your heart against anybody, man or God, but you live your life in peace and you live your life in righteousness, those are true riches. When nobody can accuse you righteously, those are true riches. Jesus said, "I want to give you true riches." Amen. Praise God. He may give you some of this world's goods, and that's all right, but those are not the true riches. The true riches are the spiritual riches. Those are the things that do not pass away, but they're going to be with us not only here, but in the life to come. So He calls those true riches. I want God to be able to trust me with some true riches in my life. Amen. How about you? Praise God. In order to do that, I've got to also be able, He's got to be able to trust me with some other things. Amen. I want God to be able to trust us tonight. And then God would like to trust us and has trusted us according to 2 Corinthians 5 and 19. 2 Corinthians 5 and 19. God has trusted us with the word of reconciliation. Amen. The word of reconciliation. What does that mean? To reconcile means to make peace between two opposing parties. It's to bring to the peace table two that are apart and put them back together again. And that's the word of reconciliation. That's what we have here today. See, man sinned against God. It created a chasm between man and God. But we have the word to put that back together again. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's the entire focus of the Christian life, is to try to get people to God and get God to people. How does that happen? Through the preaching of the gospel and the word of the Lord. Amen. It lets people know the good news. Hallelujah. That God loves them. That He wants to save them. That He wants to have a relationship with them. That He wants them to be born again so they can receive His Spirit into their lives and His name upon their life. Amen. That's a word of reconciliation. God committed that to us. There's a legend that says whenever the Lord got to heaven, the angel said, "What did you do, Lord?" He said, "Well," he said, "I went to establish a kingdom." And then he said, "I taught 12 men and I taught them and gave them the word of reconciliation." And then the angel said, "But Lord, what if they fail?" He said, "I have no other plan. I have no other plan." Wow. This is it, folks. This is it. There is no other plan. There is no plan B. Amen. It's Christians sharing the gospel. That's it. That's His plan. Amen. Has it worked? So far. Praise God. You heard it. It saved you. Don't sit down on the job now. Go get somebody else. Go tell somebody else. Let somebody else know. Let somebody else be reconciled to God. He said, "I have committed to you the word of reconciliation." Paul said, "There was committed to me a dispensation of the gospel." Amen. A dispensing of the gospel. A preaching of the gospel. A witness of the gospel. Amen. Praise God. So God has committed some things to you and to I tonight, and some things that we need to be very aware of. And then there are some things that you and I need to commit to God. Amen. Now again, the word, when we're talking about committing something to God, we are giving Him a sacred trust. Some people have a lot of trouble trusting. Life has taught them. They have people have failed them. They have been hurt. And therefore, they find it very hard to trust. But I'm telling you tonight, there's somebody that you can trust. There's somebody that you can put your confidence in. There's somebody that will not fail you. There's somebody that's not going to let you down. Amen. There are some things that you need to commit to God. There are some things that God is willing to take care of for you. Job, in the midst of his trials, or in the book of Job, Eliphaz, I guess it was, the Temanite, said this in Job chapter 5 and 8. He said, "I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause." I would commit my cause. Amen. Anybody got a cause here tonight? Praise God. Yeah, we've got a cause. David, whenever he was getting ready to face Goliath, he said, "Is there not a cause? Isn't there a reason for this? Is there something worth living for?" Amen. I don't know about you, but I have determined I want my life to count for something. I don't just want to fill up an allotted space of time and pass off the globe and nothing has changed and nothing's happened. And the best way I know to do that is to win people to Jesus Christ and invest in them so that their lives can be made better as my life has been made better. Anybody's life been made better since Jesus came in? Really and truly? Praise God. Hallelujah. You know what makes me know that there really is something to the Christian life? Christians. Because they're real. Amen. Praise God. And because I know what happened in my life since Jesus Christ came in. Amen. And so he said, commit your cause to the Lord. Amen. Your purpose. Your reason for living. Commit that to God. Amen. And then Psalm 37 and 5, the psalmist said, commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. What is the way? That's your, really, it's just simply your life. Amen. Your life. Everything about it. Praise God. Amen. Everything about it. Lord, I want to give my life to you. Praise God. And my way. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I've given a lot of thought to that. I'm not sure that I really understand it completely. About the time I think I get a handle on it, I don't have it. But there are some things I understand about it. Amen. When Jesus said, I am the way, he means exactly that. Praise God. For instance, how many of us want to go to heaven tonight? Anybody want to go? Okay, then just go ahead and take off. I'll give you permission to leave. Go on. Go on. Take off. What in the world are you doing here? I thought you wanted to go to heaven. Praise God. Well, you see, we're waiting for the way. Amen. We are in the way, and one of these days the way is going to open up. Praise God. And we're going to be caught out of here. As we said Sunday morning, he exhaled at Pentecost. He's going to inhale at the rapture. And we're all going to be gone. Amen. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we're going to be raptured out of this world. You see, he is the way, literally. You can't get there without him. There's no going without him. Amen. He is the way. So we commit to the Lord our way. Amen. And what a good thing to be able to commit that to the Lord. The Bible said, trust also in him. But say, trust. Do you trust the Lord tonight? So that's one facet of faith, is just trusting the Lord. Brother Tenney used to say, when you can't track God, trust him. And you're not always going to keep track of him. You're not always going to understand him. The Bible said it so very plainly. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth are my thoughts above your thoughts, and my ways above your ways. Amen. So God, we cannot track him, but we can trust him. Amen. And you're going to have to trust God in life. There are going to be times you're not going to be able to see a way. You're not going to see an open door. Amen. There are times you're going to be frustrated, and there are times that fear is going to rise up in your heart, and you're going to wonder if I'm going to make it another day. But you just keep on trusting God. I don't know how you will do it. I don't know when you will do it, but I have absolute confidence that you will do it. Amen. I'm going to make it through all of this. Hallelujah. I don't know what the outcome is going to be. It may not be what I think it's going to be, but it is going to happen. Amen. Two sisters sent a letter to Jesus, and they said, he whom thou lovest is sick. They just assumed that Jesus would come to the house and he would lay his hands on Lazarus and Lazarus would be healed. But that's not what happened. 4 days later he got there. He'd already been dead for 4 days. He was in a tomb. They were a little disappointed, quite frankly. When Martha heard about it, she went out. And she was a little exasperated. I can just hear what she said. She said, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Can't you hear just a little exasperation there? Amen. And then Jesus said, believe and thou shalt see. If I say believe and see, not see and believe. Believe and see. Believe and see. We get it all backwards, you see. We're all from Missouri when it comes to faith. The show me state, you know. And we want to see and then we think, well, if I can see it, then I'll believe it. Nuh-uh. He said, believe and see. If you will believe, you will see the glory of God. Believe it and receive it. Doubt it and do without it. Amen. That's God's principle. That's the way it works. Amen. And so you trust in him. And they did. Amen. They trusted him. They didn't understand. They didn't know what was going to happen. But they followed him. They went down to the tomb. They rolled away the stone. And they stood there when he said, Lazarus, come forth. Amen. And then they watched him bounce out of the tomb. Praise God. Hallelujah. Trust him. Trust him. Trust Him. Has anybody trusted the Lord? Amen. Praise God. And there were times you sure didn't know things were going to work out like they did. Anybody had any surprises? Amen. Praise God. Any good surprises? Praise God. We're still waiting on Him for some things. And I don't know how He's going to do some things, but I believe He will. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So the Bible said, trust in the Lord, and He shall bring it to pass. Not maybe, not might, but He shall bring it to pass. It is going to happen. Praise the Lord. No doubt about it. And then Proverbs 16:3 said, Proverbs 16:3, the scripture said, commit thy works unto the Lord. Thy works unto the Lord. Amen. That kind of makes you want to be careful about what you do. If you're committing something to the Lord, then you're going to be careful about what you do. You're going to make sure that your works are righteous works if you're going to commit them to the Lord. I read about a man in the scripture that tried to commit something to God that God didn't want. The Bible says that Cain and Abel came to worship. And Cain brought fruit of the field. Now, why would that be bad? First of all, because God had cursed the ground, and that's where the fruit came from. And God had given His approbation upon blood sacrifice from the time that He covered Adam and Eve's sin. He already knew that. He thought He'd try something new. Hey, it's okay if you try something new, but don't get mad at God if He don't take it. And then that what happened? The Bible says when God had respect unto Abel's sacrifice and accepted it and rejected Cain's sacrifice, Cain got mad. The Lord said, and I love this verse. I like this. It's so neat. It says, why is your countenance fallen? You ever watch anybody's countenance fall? It's like their whole face falls apart. Amen. He said, why is your countenance fallen? He said, if you'll offer sacrifice like your brother, all He's saying is, Cain, just do what I told you to do. That's all He requires. Amen. But you can't force God to do it your way. You cannot force God to do it your way. You cannot force God to do it your way. I know some people that are trying awfully hard to learn that lesson, and they have not learned it yet. They are determined that God is going to do what they tell God to do, and He's not going to do it. The Bible said, commit your ways unto the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Sometimes, you know, we just make up our mind, this is what, you know, no, God has, He has His own way. So you go ahead and commit your ways unto Him, and He'll lead you, and He'll guide you, and everything's going to work out all right. But if you are determined that you're going to force God to do it like you think. Sometimes I hear people preach faith that way. God's bound by His word. As if there's some little faith thing that you can twist and God is at your beck and call. No, He's not. God is sovereign. God does what He wants to, when He wants to, how He wants to. And you don't dictate to Him, no matter how much faith you have and no matter how much Bible you quote, He's still God. And you can have the right words and the right truth and the wrong motive, and God still will not answer your prayer. The Bible said we have not because we ask not, and it says, or we ask that we may consume it on our own lust. So you see two things. You may not have because you didn't ask, or you may because you ask amiss because you ask for the wrong motive in mind. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So the Bible said, commit your way unto the Lord. Trust in Him also, and He shall bring it to pass. Commit your works unto the Lord. Thy thoughts shall be established. Amen. Has a whole lot to do with it. A lot to do with motives. The Lord's dealt with me about motives at times. Praise God. You know, you can even praise God with the wrong motive. You can pray with the wrong motive. You can try to live the Christian life with the wrong motive. You can preach with the wrong motive. You can sing with the wrong motive. Amen. Yes, you can. You need to check your motive. Why am I doing what I'm doing? What's the purpose of it? What's the bottom line here? Amen. Am I doing this so that I'll get some brownie points in my favor? That's the wrong motive. Amen. Some people pray and all they're doing is buttering God up. Doesn't work. Praise God. Amen. Got to ask with the right motive. That's why the Bible said, but a broken and a contrite spirit, he will in no wise cast out. If we come with the right motive, we come with the right spirit, we will always be heard and we will always be helped. Amen. Praise God. Motive is very important in how we deal with God and how we come to the Lord. Amen. Jesus said that into thy hands I commend my spirit. Praise God. Spirit is life. Amen. That's what makes you move. That's what makes you go. You can't do that without him. Praise God. This old physical body. Amen. We say, well, you know, when the heart is what makes us go. Yeah, but what makes the heart go? Praise God. What makes the blood flow? Well, that's the pumping of the heart. But what makes the heart pump? What makes the whole system go? What makes it work? Spirit. Amen. When the spirit departs out of the body, no matter how healthy the rest of it is, it dies. Because life is the spirit. Amen. And without spirit, we don't function. You know, doctors say, and I don't know how this all works, but they say that there's an electrical current in your body. And that's your spirit. It can be detected. And they can tell when spirit leaves. They can put you on a machine, and it can breathe for you. It can make your heart beat. It can make your lungs go up and down. It can make your blood flow. It can put oxygen in your body. But you're as dead as you're ever going to be without spirit. Spirit is, God said, I'm going to commit your spirit to the Lord. Amen. Commit your spirit to the Lord. The spirit of life. And then 1 Peter chapter 4:19 talks about committing our souls to the Lord. Wherefore, let them that suffer, everybody say suffer. Why does that word keep coming up? It just seems to be an awful lot, doesn't it? Anybody ever suffered? Well, that's why it's in there. It's for you. Praise God. Amen. Folks don't like suffering, but hey, we're going to do some of it in this life. Praise the Lord. Brother Tenney used to say, God's a lot more interested in your character than he is in your comfort. You know what we're interested in? Comfort. You know what God's interested in? Character. And he'll work on your character even when it makes you uncomfortable. Amen. Praise God, because he wants to make us like him. Amen. That's his goal, ultimately. And so when he sees something that's not like him, you know what he does? Chips away at it. And that hurts. Amen. Praise God. That's my, that was my finest asset. He said, no, that's not like me. Praise God. And so he just takes another whack at it. Anybody know what I'm talking about tonight? Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I was really counting on that. Exactly. You need to count on me. But I was dependent on that. Right. I want you to depend on me. Amen. So he just keeps chopping. Praise God. Is that right, Brother Grissom? That's the truth. Shake your head like this right here. Amen. Read about Abraham. Do you have any troubles? Job. Read about the prophets. Read about everybody in Scripture. How about the apostles? Do they have any troubles? Amen. I read from two of them tonight, and both of them mentioned the word suffering, so I guess so. So Peter said, wherefore, let them that suffer, now get this, here it is, according to the will of God. No thought occurred to me one time. What would I be willing to do to see a soul saved? Would I be willing to suffer to see somebody saved? When I was 32 years old, I had appendicitis. And I wound up having my appendix removed. And I was in the room with a guy that for, well, pretty much the whole night, we just talked, and I witnessed to him for a whole night long. And the best I can tell, the only reason I had appendicitis was so I would be able to witness to that man. Is it worth it? Amen. Could that be suffering according to the will of God? Is that possible? Amen. Praise God. Boy, now that really puts witnessing in a whole different. You know what the word witness, you know the word it comes from? The Greek word for witness means martyr. Martyr. Praise God. We are his martyrs is what it literally says. Praise God. We're not just his mouthpiece. We are his martyrs. What's a martyr? Somebody that lays down their life for a cause. So that puts it in kind of a new light, doesn't it? Amen. Praise God. So there's some suffering according to the will of God. Now the reason I'm talking about this tonight is so that when you suffer, you understand that you're not necessarily out of the will of God. Anybody think the devil can put trouble in your way if you're trying to do something good? You think he will? Of course he will. We were trying to go to Colombia. We had all kinds of problems getting visas and all kinds of stuff. And people would say, must not be the will of God. Yeah, it was the will of God. Just because you have trouble doesn't mean it's not the will of God. You may have all kinds of trouble. You know what Paul said? He said, I fought with beast at Ephesus. He wasn't talking about lions and tigers, oh my. He was talking about spiritual adversaries that stood in his way, that did their very best to get him out of Ephesus. But Paul had enough spiritual sensitivity to understand that if I'm feeling so much opposition here, there must be something good in this place. He understood that an army understands that whenever you have a stronghold, when you put a lot of soldiers someplace, that means that must be a strategic position. And when that position comes down, victory's going to be easier afterward. Paul understood that principle in the spiritual realm. So when he found a lot of opposition, he just fought harder. Do you know the Bible says that from the city of Ephesus, they preached the gospel through all of Asia? You see how strategic it was? It was that important. Paul didn't know that when he fought the beast. And when he had troubles there, he just knew there's something good here. So he pressed on. Amen. Praise God. When you know you're in the will of God and you have the peace of God, fight on no matter how much opposition comes against you. Amen. Don't give up. Don't give in. Press on until you win the victory. Amen. And so he said, commit your souls to the Lord. The keeping of your souls. Amen. Praise God. How do you do? He said, in well-doing. Amen. Just keep doing good. That's how the Lord keeps you, when you keep doing good. Hallelujah. Well, how do I know? You know what's right. You just keep doing right. Well, what if people do me wrong? You just do them right. Ooh, yeah. Is that what Jesus did? Mm-hmm. Is that what the apostles did? Mm-hmm. Amen. The world says, do unto others before they do unto you. And that's what people say. That's not what Jesus said. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Amen. Praise God. I'm talking about the Christian life, folks. This is not for sissies. It's not for fakes. It's not for put-ons. It's for real people that are trusting in God to make a difference in their life. and help them get to heaven. Amen. Praise God. This is not just a bless me club. Songwriter said, it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. Praise God. You look around, you know, a lot of churches who are building recreation. I'm not against recreation, but, you know, they got gyms and all that kind of stuff, a lot of recreation. Nothing wrong with recreation, but that's not what it's all about. It's a battlefield. Praise God. It's a battlefield. Praise God. We're going to have to fight a battle if we're going to win this thing. Amen. Praise God, but we can because He's a faithful Creator. All right. Now, let me come to the conclusion here. Paul said, and I love this, and I've always loved this verse very, very much. He said, for I know whom, everybody say whom I have believed. It's not about a what, it's about a whom. It's about somebody. Praise God. It's not just a what, but it's a whom in your life. Praise God. And He's with you. I know whom I have believed. And am persuaded. Everybody say persuaded. Amen. Praise God. To be persuaded is to have a made up mind. I am persuaded that He is able. That He is able. That He is able to keep. Praise God. Now, you see, the reason that you put your money in the bank is because you think it's going to be safer there than it is under your mattress. Or in a tin can buried in your yard somewhere. I hope that's the only reason I put it in there. Because I don't like them taking money out every month just for the fun of it. Amen. I'm hoping it's supposed to be insured by, the FDIC for $100,000. Not that I've ever had that much to worry about. But you know, it's under that, just be assured. Amen. But such as it is, I've committed it to them to keep it. Every now and then they kind of act like it's theirs instead of mine. Praise God. One day they sent me a letter saying they might run out of money, I guess, because it said insufficient funds. I assume that's what that meant. They didn't have any more money in there. But somehow they got some more eventually. Maybe it's because I put some in. Amen. All right. But you put some, that's keeping. You put in their trust. Put in for their keeping. And so the Bible says he is able to keep that. Here it is. That which I have committed unto Him. If you don't commit it, He can't keep it. If you don't commit it, He can't keep it. The things you hold on to are the things that are most vulnerable in your life. Commit to God the things that are most valuable to you because He's the only one that can truly keep them. Amen. Some people say, well, it's hard for me to commit this. If you really love it, you'll commit it. You'll put it in His trust. You'll put it in His keeping. And He'll take care of it. He'll take care of it. He'll do it His way. Amen. Yes, I'm not saying that He'll keep it the way I think He ought to keep it. But He'll take better care of it than I ever could. Amen. He'll take better of it than I am able to do. Amen. So He's able to keep, He said, against that day. What day is that? The coming of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible, Jesus taught us about where your treasure is. Yeah, there your heart will be also. Praise God. Where's your heart tonight? Is it here or there? That's where your treasure is. If you put your treasure in His hands, then that's where your heart is. But if your treasure is just here on the earth, you're going to live in fear your whole life. Praise God. You're going to live in fear your whole life. Because you know, Jesus said down here, He said the rust corrupts, the moth eats, and the thief steals. Have you found that to be true? Anybody ever had anything rust out? You ever had anything eaten by the moths? Amen. You ever had anything stolen? Praise God, if you hadn't, you're blessed. Amen. They just don't know it's there yet. Amen. Praise God. That's this world. But he said, where your treasure is, lay up treasure for yourselves. He said, where the rust does not corrupt, and the moth does not eat, and the thief cannot steal. I'm talking about the true treasure here tonight. Now, did Paul know what he was talking about? Let me close with this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. He said, writing to Timothy, he said, but watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Everybody say, endure afflictions. Don't buckle under. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Don't turn around. Endure afflictions. You're going to have them, but endure them. He said, do the work. Ooh, work. Is that word in there? Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. And then he goes on to say, for I am now ready to be offered. What in the world are you talking about, Paul? He's talking about like a lamb that was taken and offered to the sacrifice. He said, I'm ready. I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready to lay it down. Woo! My, what a commitment, folks. What a commitment. He said, I'm ready to lay my life down. Praise God. And then he goes on to say, for the time of my departure is at hand. He's not at the airport. He's in prison. And he's waiting for the sound of soldiers' feet and the swinging of the gate to take him away to a place where his head is placed on a block, and down falls the sword and his head is decapitated from his body. That's what he's talking about. Doesn't sound like it though, does it? Sounds rather casual to me. He said, I have fought a good fight. Hallelujah. What's a good fight? A good fight is when you're fighting for the right thing. When you're fighting for the right cause, that's a good fight. Amen. Billy Sunday used to say, I believe it was him, he said, I'm going to fight the devil as long as I got a fist, I'll hit him. As long as I got a foot, I'll kick him. But if I lose my hand and I lose my foot, he said, I'm going to bite him. And if I lose my teeth, I'll gum him to death. That's a fighting spirit. Amen. That's determination, folks. That's a made-up mind. And so Paul said, I fought a good fight. He said, I have finished my course. Amen. Praise God. He didn't quit. I ran track one time when I was in junior high school. And I was running on a relay team. And we were running. And we had this guy that was the anchor, because he was all legs. I mean, he had longest legs. That guy, he could run. He could really run. And so we each did our segment. I ran, and the other two guys ran. And finally, Joe got the baton. And I'm telling you, when Joe started stretching out those old long legs, there wasn't anybody close to him. He turned the last turn of the race, and he was running. Wasn't nobody close, and he just walked off the track. The coach turned all shades of red. And when he got over there, he said, Joe, what in the world are you doing? Joe looked at him and said, I'm tired. I'm tired. And he quit. You know what I've observed in the Christian race? Same thing. Some folks that were doing so well, and they just sat down. Gave up. Paul said, I finished my course. Amen. And then he said, I have kept the faith. Amen. I treasured it. I guarded it. I held on to it. I didn't let anything take it away from me. I kept the faith. He could also say, the faith kept me. That's the beauty of it. You keep the faith, and the faith keeps you. And then he said, henceforth there was laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Everybody say, crown of righteousness. Isn't that a beautiful crown? Amen. You know what that crown means? It means that you were right. How many like to be right? Everybody raise your hand. You know you like to be right. Not one person here tonight don't want to be right. Everybody, I'm right. Amen. And that's what that crown means. Hallelujah. Whenever people started saying that you were wrong, it says, you're right. When it said that Buddha's the way, and you were saying Jesus is the way, they were saying Confucius is the way, and you said Jesus is the way, and they said Allah is the way, and you said Jesus is the way, guess what? One of these days you're going to put a crown on your head, and it's going to say, you were right! Hallelujah. Somebody said, you don't have to do all of that. You don't have to be that. You don't have to live like that. You don't have to be so strict in your living. You don't have to be so unworldly. Amen. You don't have to live this holy life. But you're going to get a crown on your head one day, and it's going to say, you were right. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's going to say, you're right. That's what a crown of righteousness is. He said, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love His appearing. Amen. Let's stand together. Anybody committed here tonight? Anybody got your mind made up? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Got to make up your mind. Got to make up your mind. Hallelujah. Praise God, there's all kinds of reasons tonight that people don't make it, but you got to make up your mind. Paul said in one place, he said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas got his eyes off of the prize. Demas found a treasure that was not true riches. And he put his confidence in it. Put his trust in it. Put his love in it. Amen. Folks, we got to keep our eyes on the prize tonight. We got to keep our heart right with God. Amen. We got to keep our treasure where it belongs, in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Got to be committed. Got to be committed. And you got to commit to Him. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anybody committed tonight? Why don't we come and just stand around the front of this building a little bit and just let the Lord know we're committed. Oh, I'm going through. Yes, I'm going through. And I'll pay the price, whatever others do. And I'll take the way with the Lord's chosen few. I've started for Jesus, and I'm going through. Oh, I'm going through. Yes, I'm.